We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
Breaking news, Terry Rozier. He'll be the next starting point guard of the Charlotte Hornets.
Step back, wide open, and it's good! Terry Rozier!
Lamb.
All right, welcome into another Buzz Beat. This is Richie. On this podcast, we are going to give you guys our reaction, our live reaction to the draft, the first three picks of the draft, leading up to the selection of LaMelo Ball for the Charlotte Hornets. Also in this episode, you're going to hear clips from a media availability with Mitch Kupchak following the selection of LaMelo Ball and his thoughts on his fit within the roster and how they are going to move going forward with him playing next to Devontae Graham, playing with this team, and how his style fits. So you'll hear from him after our live reaction. So let's get into the live Periscope show that we had on as the draft was taking place. All right. What's up, everyone? What's up, Hornets fans, NBA fans? It's NBA draft night, and we are here to react to all the trades, all the rumors, all the draft picks here on draft night. We've got the full BuzzBeat crew here tonight with Spencer and Brian, as always. On today's live stream here, we're going to reveal our top five boards as well as a BPA that I just kind of averaged our rankings together as the draft goes along. We will also have Hornets draft trivia a little later. If there's a break in the action, we'll get to that. So for all of you guys in the chat right now, if you guys would like to participate, we will claim a winner of our trivia. I don't know what you win, maybe just some pride there. So we wanted to thank you guys for watching. If you're listening a little bit later, we definitely appreciate the support. Over the past couple of weeks, guys, it just feels like there's been a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors surrounding these top three picks. Go ahead, Brian.
Ooh, I got a prize. Whoever gets it right,
okay,
you get to name three different prospects, and I'll give you as much synergy information as you want.
Oh, look at that!
Seriously, yeah,
that's cool.
If you get the trivia question right, you get three prospects worth of synergy information.
Nice, nice. Well, like I was saying, these rumors have intensified as this draft has gotten closer and closer. Spencer, Brian, how are you guys doing? And first off, how should Hornets fans feel tonight? That's the real question.
Nervous. I'm certainly nervous about what's going to happen here. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, a lot of information out there. I think that, you know, obviously we'll find out soon what it's all about. I have heard, since I know I tweeted it out, I better go ahead and just put it out there now. I have heard that the LaMelo Ball, that trading up to number one for Minnesota with Minnesota and targeting LaMelo Ball, that is not true. I trust the source. We'll see what happens. I think that there's still a great chance if Ball fell to three that the Hornets would still take him. But look, there's a lot of stuff out there flying right now. So I can't remember a draft like this, BG, where I just really have no clue who the Hornets are taking.
Yeah.
And they're drafting third.
Yeah, and we've had, you know, over a year to prepare for it too.
Right,
I'm just excited it's finally here. I mean, for a long time, We didn't even know when this draft was even going to take place. Probably 2 months ago, two and a half months ago, that, you know, a date wasn't set. And even then, it was still up in the air until semi-recently. And it feels like, I mean, can you, do you guys remember the night the Hornets moved up to third in the lottery? Like, that was 3 months ago, over.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It's just crazy. Wow. I mean, this coming at towards the tail end of this really wacky season, a year for, you know, America, the world, basketball, the Hornets, et cetera. I'm glad it's finally here, and should be a fun draft night. I mean, maybe a little nerve wracking, but the Hornets have, they have three good picks, man. They have three picks, yeah. Two really good ones, including a top three selection. There's been a lot of smoke that people have had to sift through this week, including, you know, trade rumors with Westbrook trading up for the number one pick or not. But knock on wood, it seems like the Hornets are just going to sit in at three and take, you know, whoever falls to them there, which I think is a very good strategy. But even today's been just wacky with NBA news in general. You've got the Klay Thompson injury information. How much time is he going to miss now? The Bogdanovich sign and trade between Sacramento.
Oh, that's a mess.
Was and wasn't. It could be nervous perhaps for the Hornets tonight a little bit, but there's some other teams that are sitting in a little more traffic than perhaps Charlotte is with three picks and clean books going ahead here.
Let me get to that proposed trade, Spencer. I know you say that it's not happening, but let's just say it were happening. Miles plus three for the number one pick. If that did actually take place and it went down and we traded up to take whoever, LaMelo Ball, whomever, what would your feeling be on that? Because to me, this is the type of draft that I've kind of commented on before. I don't think you are trading up in this draft. I think you either stand pat or you trade down. And if you want LaMelo Ball, I think you just kind of call Minnesota's bluff and hope that he falls to three, if that is your guy. But it seems like you're more open to that idea if you like that player, right? So you're saying that actual, you know, trade isn't that bad. It's fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like a philosophical, like an approach opinion of mine. Like, do I think LaMelo Ball is the guy you should give up anything for and trade up? I don't think that's the guy you should trade up for.
Right.
But if it's Miles Bridges and a swap pick of the top three, like that's not, in my opinion, not that expensive of a deal for Charlotte. If you know LaMelo Ball is your guy, I just, obviously, like I tweeted out earlier, I threw on Chad Ford's 10 minute pod. It's what he led with. I tweeted it out because I thought, okay, he's leading with this. He says it's quote unquote the hottest rumor in the league right now. Like, this guy's been in the league, has the sources as long as anybody covering the draft does left, you know? So, and then that gained some traction. And then is when I learned that, from my sources, no, that's not true. So, I mean, who knows what to believe? But to answer your question, Richie, if you think LaMelo Ball is your guy, you've exhausted all of your draft resources. We know the Hornets traveled overseas to see these guys before the pandemic started. Like, if you did all your due diligence and you get in the room together and you have the conversation and everyone comes to the conclusion, this is our guy, then I don't think Miles Bridges in the third pick is that expensive to move up and get that guy. I don't think LaMelo is, in my opinion, but if they do, I support that trade.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And to Spencer's point, I mean, we've discussed for a while now, like, what type of asset is Miles Bridges? Now, I'm in general just against moving up in the draft, perhaps especially this year, especially if it's only two spots. But again, to Spencer's point, if you decided that LaMelo's your guy, and the cost of doing business is Miles Bridges, well, then you got the last drop you could out of that asset. You know what I mean? I still think there's a chance Miles can turn. I mean, he's frustrating right now as a player. I still think he can become a good contributing and winning player, but you know, who knows if you're going to get there. Also, if you moved him, you know, it frees up some time on the wing, like McDaniels, Cody Martin, like all of a sudden those guys have more of a role at the three or whatever. So, you know, there'd be some smaller auxiliary benefits, but yeah, I guess it doesn't seem like that's happening. Looks like also, by the way, it looks like it's going to be Anthony Edwards.
Wow.
Number one to the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's according to Shams and Woj.
Yep. We had a comment in Periscope that it was Anthony Edwards that was picked. That was one of the players that it feels like the Hornets were targeting, hoping to fall to three. This is where it's going to get interesting because, as you were saying, Brian, I don't think it's going to affect Warriors' plans, but you know, do they select Ball? Do they need another guard because Clay Thompson is gone down? I would say no. I would still think they would lean Wiseman here at the number two overall pick, but it's going to be interesting to see what Charlotte does if Wiseman and Edwards are off the board. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be the most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Right now, go to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Football's back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's Blue Wire, all one word. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
You know, I would bring up something. If the Hornets indeed are not super pumped about LaMelo Ball, and he does fall to three, like you said, Richie, and Okongwu's there, and maybe you like him, but maybe you're also just floating him to see if you can get somebody to trade up for that too. Are we set up for a last-second Hornets trading down kind of situation? If indeed, from what some have heard, including me, that they don't like LaMelo as much as some have been floated, are the Hornets the ones to trade down? So something interesting to think about.
We've talked about those possibilities with the Knicks before, who have draft capital. They've got the number 8 pick, and then what they traded for 23 earlier today too. I believe 23, which they got from Utah. Detroit has 7 and 16 now at their disposal to move as well. So those are two possibilities, and two that I think we even highlighted a week or two ago as the two most likely candidates that would potentially want to move up to three if LaMelo fell there. Yeah, it's interesting. Anthony Edwards, good for him going number one. I think he's a good prospect. I think it's an interesting stylistic pick for the Timberwolves, who I thought LaMelo sort of fit the brand that their front office was going to try to produce. But I understand perhaps wanting to make sure that D'Angelo Russell is happy as their primary guy, therefore getting the two. And yeah, I mean, there's some really good young players on the Timberwolves roster right now. And it'll be interesting to see how they build around these guys going forward.
Yeah, I think it was always, for Minnesota, it was always going to be tough right after you traded for D'Angelo Russell to bring in LaMelo Ball, who's going to need to play immediately and going to need the basketball. It's just, it's a tough, not even a tough sell to your fan base. It's just a tough sell in that locker room. Like, it's going to be hard to get all those guys on the same page from day one. So I get it from Minnesota's perspective, and I think Edwards is the most talented prospect in this draft. So we'll see how it plays out. Not been the richest place for prospects to develop in the past. But, they feel like they're in a pretty good place right now. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. And it's good to your, like, once again, to your point, Spencer, like, Russell is there because Towns wanted him to be there. Right.
Correct.
So, I think
so. He's got to play. He's got to have the ball. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And a big part of what Minnesota is doing is trying to build around Towns and also make sure that he's happy in Minneapolis too.
Right.
You almost wonder if Minnesota viewed Ball and Edwards as kind of like the top two prospects here. And there was never really Wiseman in the talks with Minnesota, it felt like. And maybe they just went Edwards over Ball because Edwards does fit in terms of positionally and not trying to take the ball out of D'Angelo Russell's hands. Let me get to the trivia question real quick, so just so I can get it out there to the 30 people that are currently on this Periscope call. So the trivia is this. Since the inception of the Charlotte Hornets organization, they have selected 10 times within the top five of the NBA draft. From those selections, the only school of a prospect to appear multiple times, to appear twice, has been UNC. So Charlotte has had two top five prospects come from UNC. Name those two players. Okay. So that is the trivia question. And the reward again, Brian, is two players of their choosing.
Three players. Since the Hornets are picking third, winner of this trivia prize gets. I will send them the information for three Synergy players. You can get guys that are entering the league now, old prospects, or if you're looking ahead for 2021 guys. These can be used at any point on those prospects.
We have an analytical heavy following, so that's a really nice prize. I gotta say,
yeah,
it looks like Wiseman is going to Golden State here. So, from people in the chat, I'm not following Twitter right now. I'm just trying to keep the rumors and
according to Shams, the leaks, Golden State is selecting James Wiseman with the number 2 pick.
Whoa, in just the got NBA it. Draft.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't think they would change their plans at the last second just because, you know, Klay Thompson went down.
So number three.
There we go.
Yeah, LaMelo, Okongwu, or trade back. Those seem like the options here.
And one thing I've always said is just because we take LaMelo Ball
here we go.
At number three.
Hold on, sorry to interrupt, but Charlotte will select LaMelo Ball with the number 3 overall pick in the NBA draft.
Now, I could be totally wrong here, but just because they're selecting LaMelo Ball doesn't mean they're going to be holding on to him. And we had this conversation
That is true.
Mm-hmm. If we really wanted Okongwu and we wanted him at number 3 and we drafted him at number 3, Spencer, it would make sense that he would be the guy and we wouldn't trade. But if we feel that Okongwu can be there at number 8, like Brian had suggested, you know, maybe we wait to see if Okongwu falls back to number 8 and then make the trade with New York. So it's almost like you want to hold on to this guy because he does have the highest trade value of anybody available right now at 3. So
all that's in play. There could be, I guarantee there have been conversations, you know, about, well, let's just see when you get to this pick, who's still there. And then we can talk turkey then if we need to. But I do probably get the sense that Charlotte's going to, you know, LaMelo is their guy.
Okay.
That stuff was out there, you know, for a while now, certainly this week. At the last second, we had the trade up smoke that didn't end up being true. But look, I'm not surprised to see LaMelo going to Charlotte. As we've talked about, to the point of exhaustion, they need a guy to elevate this franchise from just really a, you know, what you see out there in the public, in the NBA public standpoint. I mean, Charlotte's going to have nationally televised games next season because of this. They're going to sell more jerseys because of this. Did they get the most talented player in this draft?
Brian,
we'll see.
So.
Not in my opinion, but I'm not surprised to see this be the pick. And I'll end on this. I'm pulling for LaMelo. Okay, look, I know I've been hard on him. I want this kid to succeed to the greatest extent, okay? Because, you know, I love this franchise and I want to see it be successful. So we'll see what happens, but certainly not surprised to see this be the pick here.
And we had this conversation, Brian, with Kyle Mann on the last podcast. If you guys haven't checked that out, we had a good conversation about LaMelo Ball, and he actually had a recent video that he put out for The Ringer. But, you know, a 6'7 point guard, 6'6 point guard that can pass the ball, has the high IQ of LaMelo, is hard to come by. It's clearly a strength of his that's going to be carried over to the NBA. The one concern or worry that I have for him, just, I mean, there's a couple, but the one that I have outside of his like shot selection is the fact that he's coming into a roster with Devontae Graham. And yeah. I just don't know how well the pairing is going to be. And do you move Devontae to the bench? Do you play them together? I mean, how well can LaMelo play off the ball? I don't see him as an off-ball player quite yet.
Well, we'll find out in real time. Yeah. But, you know, they're not just drafting just for next season, right?
Right,
And now, as we've talked about on this podcast for a while now, it's been easy to look at Devontae as like a, having like sort of like at least a five-year window because you factor in the last year of his rookie deal plus the four-year extension. But you're drafting, I think Ball is the most talented prospect in this draft with the highest ceiling. If you wanted to make a case for Anthony Edwards in that capacity, I hear you. I have plenty of concerns with LaMelo. I'm not entirely sure, you know, he's an A1 primary creator, high usage, not super efficient at the moment. Some defensive concerns on the basketball, even though, I like his size, and because he is a smart basketball mind, I think he could be a pretty good team defender. But this potentially checks a lot of boxes for Charlotte, and I think it's a pretty good outcome for them to end up with LaMelo at three without having to like, you know, move up to get this guy. I really do think Ball could be a guy that you build an offense around. You know, not a guarantee on that, but I think he's a very promising player and a good piece for Charlotte going forward.
Hey, Brian, we do have a winner here. So D Woody 151 in trivia. He said,
all right,
Raymond Felton and J.R. Reed. J.R. Reed was taken fifth overall as well as Felton, one in 1989. And then obviously Felton in 2005. So,
Mention too, real quickly, Richie. So we get a player that will have a similar usage rate to Russell Westbrook, but we don't have to pay that player $130 million over the next 3 years.
Yeah.
So that's some really good news there.
Yes, yes. I do think one thing though, and you have to give credit to the fact that this kid has been playing professional basketball for what seems like, you know, I don't know how many years now, but it's been a while. And I don't
three
think
years.
That 3 years,
yeah.
Like I don't think that can go understated.
Two different continents, three different continents. Excuse me.
So I do think there's some benefit in him having played against grown men before. So I don't think you can understate that enough.
Yeah. No. I agree. I agree. I mean, it's probably a good thing that he's played, you know, in the NBL in Australia, and I don't know anything about the Lithuanian league. It's probably not as strong as that Australian league, but yes, he's seen that level of basketball. He's seen that level of physicality. You know, he understands to a level what it's like to go into a locker room full of grown men and fit in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from what we heard out of Australia that, you know, his teammates, they had nothing but, it seems like, good things to say about him. So I agree that it's a positive, you know, thing with LaMelo for me the whole time is just, it's been, I said this with you and Hayes earlier today, BG, on Sports Channel 8 radio show. He's just like he's a social experiment a little bit to me because of all the different situations he's been in. And I just wonder if this kid who's been in Lithuania playing, came back to the United States to play senior year of high school, went to Australia to play professionally. I just wonder how he's going to fit in an NBA locker room. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. But, yeah, I think you can take positive things from it, Richie, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it helps to have, you know, he's different from Lonzo and LiAngelo, but you got two brothers that have played professional basketball. Like, I think that probably helps some of the learning curve too, but mostly it's like, I mean, just speaking strictly from an on-court aspect, Charlotte needed a primary creator at some point. They had to get it. Who knows? We don't right now. Obviously we don't know if LaMelo is going to work out at that, but he was the best chance I think at getting that in this draft. I really like Killian Hayes a lot. I thought you could have made a case for him in that conversation as well. I had those guys sort of 1A, 1B with LaMelo a slight edge for a long time now, but this just gives you a guy that you can, I think, at some point build a top 10 offense around. I think he's going to pair really well with PJ Washington, pick and roll, pick and pop. I think that's going to immediately work and can get online and just be easy offense right out of that. I get that there are some diminishing returns and ball handling issues potentially with Devontae and LaMelo, but important to remember that Devontae, I mean, he turns 26 this season. He was also pretty overtaxed last year as really the one guy that could go get a bucket on Charlotte's roster. And maybe you see Malik Monk having some of that potential. Occasionally Monk can be a pretty electric off the dribble scorer. But yeah, I think like LaMelo can fit with a bunch of different guards, including Devontae. Just having two guys that can pass like that and run pick and roll, I think is good for an offense that was starved for additional playmakers.
How is Jordan going to feel when he comes in wearing Puma sneakers? I feel like everyone is either wearing Nikes or Jordans on this team. So,
yeah, that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. Apparently, Mark Stein tweeted out a little bit ago that MJ's a big fan of LaMelo. So, yeah, I think that was something that was an aspect that people watching from the sidelines were sort of curious to know how MJ would welcome the big baller brand to Charlotte. And yeah, it seems like he was maybe one of the leading voices in the room that that sort of pushed for this this result here.
Yeah, so I would add with LaMelo pick too, I think the Hornets certainly are closer to a true identity. Something else we've talked about a lot. This team's going to play really, really, really fast.
Yeah.
I think if LaMelo Ball is on your team, that you don't have a choice. That's the way things are going to work. So
they were last in the league in pace this season too, correct?
Right, Charlotte. Which is a little surprising because at times I thought they actually did try to speed it up.
By the way, Chicago going to go with Patrick Williams at number four.
Charlotte got
a lot of buzz about a lot of buzz about that. Yeah, so I think that if you're Charlotte, this is if you're a fan, you at least know, okay, this is what we're going to be as a team. I think there's a lot to figure out defensively, certainly. We can get in more to that in future podcasts. But this team is going to play fast. They're going to play in transition. They're going to play read-react. My biggest question with Melo offensively is, when teams force this, the Charlotte team into the half court, is it going to be all LaMelo? How is the ball being shared? Are the offensive sets similar to what we've seen under Borrego? It seems like that would be tough with a guy like LaMelo Ball. How does Devontae Graham, fit into all this? I mean, these are all questions I have, but the one thing you know is this team is going to play a very up-tempo style.
He's probably, he definitely is the best hit-ahead passer in this draft. He's the best live ball passer in this draft. He's just the best passer, I feel like, in this draft. And yes, Brian, to your point, the Hornets were last in pace, but I think part of that has to do with defense. You got to get stops to kind of push the pace. But having a guy like LaMelo Ball, even if you don't get stops, maybe taking the ball out of the basket, you can even push the pace even more, even if you don't get those stops all the time. I will defer to you guys on this question right here before we kind of wrap up our segment. Which big in the second round do you guys prefer? I'm assuming because we didn't get Wiseman, because we didn't get Okongwu, there's probably going to be a big that's taken with that 32nd overall pick. If Xavier Tillman is there, that's kind of the guy that I lean. But Spencer, Brian, any other names or Xavier Tillman himself? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, Tillman would be at the top of the list for me. I know he's not like a towering defensive five, but great center, great team defender. Maybe doesn't have some of the obvious rim protection that you wanted, but does some really good things guarding ball screens out of the pick and roll. Strong as hell, good rebounder, and an excellent passer. Like, if you could pair him with LaMelo and PJ, you'd have some really fun sets to go into offensively, or just easy stuff to get out of drag ball screens or pick and roll and pick and pop. I would like Killian Tilly a lot out of Gonzaga. A stretch five that can really pick and pop, that can pass, that can handle. I love Killian Tilly. And outside of that, like Jalen Smith, Paul Reed would be great picks too if those guys fall to 32.
Yeah, Brian mentioned the two that I'm really interested in, Killian Tilly and Paul Reed. I mean, I have Paul Reed in my top 14. I have him as a lottery prospect. He's certainly not going to go there, but I think that they're very different players. You know, Paul Reed is maybe the most versatile defensive player in this entire draft. But he's got a lot of work to do on the mm-hmm. offensive end. We don't know if he can shoot yet. He's got a very raw back to the basket post game. You know, putting it on the floor, making plays for teammates. We'll see. That needs a lot of work. But defensively, he's going to be an impact player right away if he can get a role, you know, in the rotation. And then, you know, Killian Tilly, he's kind of the opposite. On the offensive end, he might be the most polished big in the entire draft. And you know exactly where you can plug him in. If he can stay healthy, Killian Tilly might end up being one of the best 10 players of this draft. So,
yeah,
those are the two I've circled. I think certainly one of them makes it to Charlotte. I think there's a good chance both of them do. So, but at the same time, I would say the Hornets can – I thought about this earlier today. I think there's still a good chance they target a center in free agency, and they can always bring back a Bismack Biyombo for the minimum. So it's not a guarantee they take a big at 32. Mm-hmm. I still think they could take a swing for a 3-and-D type of wing, like, as you know, Isaiah Joe or Elijah Hughes or a few names that I'm kind of looking at. So it's not a sure thing they're taking a big at 32.
Yeah, good point. And like, there's some centers that could be available at 56, you know, if it comes to that as well. You know, Virginia, Mamadi Diakite out of Virginia is one name that comes to the top of the list, but you never know if Vernon Carey Jr. or Isaiah Stewart fell down there. But yeah, they should still go best player available at 32. And I think there are some rotation pieces that are definitely going to be available. You know, I don't know if you can, I don't know if you can look out at any one of the crowd of, you know, Xavier Tillman, Isaiah Joe, Killian Tilly, and say, guarantee these guys are going in the first round. I think all of them have sort of like late first round grades. You could say this about, you know, Devon Dotson or Trey Jones too. But like, some of those guys just have to be there. They just have to by virtue of the numbers. So the Hornets are going to have a chance to draft a good player at 32. And they're off to a good start tonight. They're off. They had a really strong draft in 2019, getting LaMelo at 3 without having to part with any assets. Like, they still, Miles Bridges is still on this roster.
Right.
And now they can go in and get another rotation piece on a great cheapo contract at 32. That's they're off and running tonight.
All right, guys, we're going to hop off this Periscope. As the little stat says here, the Hornets have never actually had the 32nd overall picks. Just a random factoid there. So if they,
Richie, one last thing to your point. You brought up a good point. We were talking about Charlotte's pace a little bit ago. After a defensive rebound this season, Charlotte was 18th in the NBA in pace. So a big part of why they were playing slower was because they were obviously having trouble getting stops and having to take the ball out of the net. Right. So to your point, you were right about that earlier. They were middle of the pack in terms of average possession length after a defensive rebound.
All right, let's go ahead and hear from Mitch Kupchak and his reaction as they had LaMelo Ball fall to the Charlotte Hornets at number 3.
Quite frankly, you know, there were more than 3 players we considered with the 3rd pick. Having said that, going into the draft this evening, we did not know who would go first, second, or third. We're happy, very happy, you know, that LaMelo Ball was there when we drafted number 3. He's a very young, talented player who plays the kind of pace that we like to play. He has a flair to his game that, you know, maybe has some entertainment to it, more so than some other players. You know, having said that, that's not why we drafted him. We drafted him because of his size, his length, you know, the way he can handle the ball, the way he pushes the ball. Obviously, at 19 years old, we feel there's a lot of upside there. So we're very excited. Now, you know, he is 19, and he's going to come onto a team where there are, you know, players who have NBA experience, and we're hopeful, you know, that he works hard and, you know, earns, you know, any minutes that he gets this year. And if he does that, and if he loves the game as much as we think he loves the game, we feel he has a chance to be a heck of a player in this league for a long time.
In this last clip, you will hear from Coach James Borrego. I asked him a question about LaMelo and some of the concerns with him playing without the ball in his hands and his fit next to Devontae Graham and how those two would pair together. And here was his response.
I like the fit. I mean, they're two playmakers. I like him with Terry as well. I mean, we're going to play all three together. I don't know how much, but those three will play together. And just like we used Devontae off the ball some last year, we used Terry off the ball. This is going to be a very positionless style of play as we head into next season. We're working on it now. I expect him to cut on the weak side. He's going to come off pin downs, handoffs. He's not going to just be standing in a corner waiting for someone to pass him the ball. You know, our style of play, you know, a lot last year and as we head into next year, is very positionless. So I like him off the ball. He's going to receive pin downs, DHOs. He's going to be cutting on the weak side. He's going to be a screener sometimes. He's going to handle sometimes. But it's going to be a very positionless style. And, you know, I expect those three guys to play well together. You want playmakers on the floor. In today's game, the elite teams, the best teams, have multiple playmakers on the floor, multiple ball handlers, multiple shooters. We have just added some depth to our playmaking, shot creation. And to me, that's where the league is at.
All right. Thanks again for tuning in to another Buzz Beat. I hope you guys enjoyed our reaction to LaMelo Ball being drafted by the Charlotte Hornets. And then you also got some insight from GM Mitch Kupchak, as well as head coach James Borrego. We will see you guys next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.